Welcome to the DuPont Environmental Education Center at the Russell Peterson Urban Wildlife Refuge. This audio tour, produced by the Delaware Nature Society, is intended to help you navigate through various stops with helpful explanations of what you are seeing along the way. We start at the building before heading on our tour. First, let's check in with Tracy to hear about our interconnection with water.
Thank you for visiting with the Delaware Nature Society today. We work to preserve and protect natural resources like the water we drink, the air we breathe, the lands that produce our food, and the beautiful natural areas we love. Let's explore the water around us and take a look at the river passing by the city and the marsh before you. This is the Christina River, named for Swedish Princess Christina and the first Swedish settlement in North America, found right here in Delaware. The river begins as a small stream in the southeast corner of Pennsylvania, winds southward through the corner of Maryland, then through Newark, Newport, and finally the Russell Peterson Refuge here in Wilmington. From here, it flows into the Delaware River and Bay, and finally the Atlantic Ocean. 15 million people rely on the Delaware River waterways for clean drinking water, and local communities are concerned about threats to these waters. Keeping our waterways clean is essential for healthy swimming, boating, wildlife, and drinking.
Next, we learn from Alessandra just where all this water you are seeing originated and how it came to be here. As you listen, head out onto the boardwalk loop, making a left when you get to the pond. You will be making a clockwise circle.
Have you heard of the Christina Watershed? All the land that drains or sheds water downstream to the Christina River is in the Christina Watershed. During rainstorms, some water soaks into the ground, but the rest drains into rivers and streams. So, rain falling upstream in Honeybrook, Downington, Kennett Square, Newark, Ellesmere, and Wilmington eventually makes its way to the Christina River. And here, at the Environmental Center, that water can bring some unwelcome objects. Everything from flip-flops to a Christmas tree has floated down our river and into our marsh. Other rivers flow into the Christina, including the red clay, white clay, and brandywine, adding water and any other items caught in the current. Actually, almost anything from the watershed can flow downstream. This includes pesticides and manure from farms, fertilizers from lawns, trash from the city streets, and motor oil from roads. Each of these pollutants has a different impact on our clean water. You can help with simple actions to reduce the waste that gets into the watershed. Now that you know everything flows downstream and eventually into the waterway that supports your drinking water and aquatic habitats, make simple choices that prevent pollution. Reduce pesticides and fertilizer usage on your lawn, or even convert part of your lawn into garden beds. This can help reduce water pollution and preserve our clean water supply. Also, choosing non-toxic cleaners, picking up your dog waste, and cleaning up trash on the streets and sidewalks help, because even small things really do matter.
Have you ever thought about how our river is affected by the various pollutants that contaminate its waters? Here is Alyssa to talk about water quality.
State of the Christina. How clean is our water? Delaware Nature Society tests the water in the marsh pond. We measure things like nitrogen, phosphorus, dissolved oxygen, pH, and turbidity or cloudiness. The results are within an acceptable range for wildlife, but the Christina is nevertheless considered unsafe because of bacteria levels, harmful sediments, pesticides, and other contaminants. Because of this, swimming is not recommended. Our industrial history has added legacy toxins, including pesticides and metals that affect wildlife and any fish caught within the tidal portion of the Christina. Finally, excess fertilizer and chemicals from upstream development, farms, and lawns are still impacting aquatic wildlife. Unfortunately, the issue is not confined to the Christina Basin. In fact, approximately 90% of Delaware's waterways are polluted, meaning they may have restrictions on swimming or fish consumption. This may sound discouraging, but the river has improved drastically from past eras, and we are seeing improvements today. Just recently, the number of fish you can catch and eat from the river has increased from 0 to 1. Researchers are coming up with new, innovative solutions to improving water quality, and you are seeing firsthand one of those solutions in action. Find out how wetlands like these at the Russell Peterson Urban Wildlife Refuge help to clean our water at the next audio tour stop.
You may never have considered what role a marsh or wetland plays in protecting clean water and providing safe habitats. Let's listen to Jan as she explains the vital role of the tidal marsh.
Wetlands. Wetlands, like the 212-acre Russell Peterson Wildlife Refuge, are vital for wildlife and for humans. They make a happy home for many aquatic and land-based animals. Frogs, raccoons, otters, and even beavers make their home in the marsh. If you're lucky, you may even spot young American eels swimming our waters. Wetlands function like a natural sponge, absorbing extra flood water while filtering pollutants. When large storms and hurricanes approach, the marsh retains huge amounts of water, protecting downstream neighborhoods from flooding. The marsh plants and soil filter out pollutants, making wetlands a vital player in cleaning our waters.
Do you know the difference between a marsh and a swamp? And how our freshwater marsh is unusual? Catherine will explain.
Our wetland is actually a very specific and rare type of wetland in Delaware, a freshwater tidal marsh. If you look at the plants spanning the wetland, you'll see that most are grass-like plants such as sedges and cattails, and not trees. That's what makes this wetland a marsh instead of a swamp. You may also notice that the pond water level varies quite a bit, 4 to 5 feet every day, in fact. As you come to the boardwalk overpass, make sure to note the water's height on our tidal gauge. You should find it just to your left as you cross a small bridge which passes over the long tidal gut connecting our pond to the Christina River. Because of this connection, our water levels change throughout the day with the river tides. Often, tides bring to mind salt water and oceans, but the Christina River here is tidal and freshwater and supports a much wider range of biodiversity. Look for the bald eagle in winter, tadpoles in spring, and buzzing dragonflies and wild rice in late summer.
You may have wondered what type of animals, fish, and birds inhabit our marsh and river. Here is Alex to tell you about it. You should now be just past the bridge that crosses near our tidal gate.
Wetlands act as a nursery for many animals, nurturing aquatic insects, frogs, crabs, and fish such as striped bass or rockfish, largemouth bass, perch, bluegills, and pumpkin seeds. The marsh provides a great natural habitat for a wide variety of birds as well. Year-round, you may see the brightly colored red-winged blackbird flying overhead, a great blue heron fishing in the pond, or the great crested cormorant diving for fish on the river. To your left in the distance, you can see a platform atop a tall pole. In early 2016, the platform was placed in the marsh to attract migratory ospreys. These eagle-like birds are also known as fish hawks because of their diet. They have an impressive 6-foot wingspan and perform dramatic dives to fetch fish from the river. Since these birds return to the same nest every season, they can often be viewed on the nest spring through fall. Marshes provide food for a large number of wildlife in addition to birds. In fact, a healthy marsh is one of the most productive habitats in the world.
Our marsh has a history of human activity that dates back nearly 400 years. Alyssa will explain the history of detrimental and beneficial impacts.
History of the marsh. Across the region and the globe, many marshes have been filled to allow for development. And as the wetlands disappear, so does our protection from flooding and pollutants. Early in Wilmington's history, the Swedes who settled the area created dikes along the river's edge to prevent water from entering the marsh. Note the trees growing along the river's edge, where the earth is just a bit higher than surrounding land. Early Swedes used the created dry area as pasture for grazing animals. During the 1960s, I-95 was built west of the marsh, and its spoils were deposited into the marsh, forming a large elevated area where a cluster of trees exists today. As you look towards I-95, you can see this wooded area. During the early 2000s, Delaware's Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control began a marsh restoration project. They removed multiple feet of soil to allow natural hydrology to return, sculpted the marsh's topography to create important wildlife habitat, and removed invasive plants to make way for native vegetation. Today, the restored marsh provides habitat for wildlife, helps absorb excess floodwater and pollutants, and gives us a natural area to explore. You can help with restoration efforts throughout Delaware by volunteering with the Delaware Nature Society.
Now that your boardwalk circuit is nearly complete, let's consider how human activities could impact our marsh in the future. Here is Sarah, who will tell you how our tidal marsh is likely to be affected by rising global temperatures.
Sea level rise. Our marsh is a unique and critical environment, yet it faces serious threats from climate change. Sea levels are expected to rise between 10 and 38 inches by the end of the century. Water levels will rise for two reasons. First, warmer temperatures cause ocean water volumes to increase, known as thermal ocean expansion. Second, melting glaciers increase the amount of water in the world's oceans. Due to its location, low average elevation, and dependence on the coast, Delaware is particularly vulnerable to the effects of rising sea levels. Freshwater marshes will likely become salt marshes over the next century. Researchers hope that freshwater wetlands will migrate inland, but wetlands frequently border agriculture, suburban, and urban areas. The concern is that this development will prevent wetlands from moving inland. Reduced wetlands impact the wetlands' beneficial functions, including water filtering and retention, and wildlife habitat. According to the Center for Biological Diversity, 17% of U.S. endangered species are at risk from sea level rise. Over a third of U.S. threatened and endangered species live in wetlands exclusively, and almost half use wetlands during their life cycle. You can help reduce sea level rise, and sometimes the simplest solutions are the best. Encourage your community and government to use green energy in city and state buildings. Reduce your energy usage as traditional power generation emits the most pollutants affecting climate change. Car emissions are also a major player in climate change. Whether it is carpooling or walking to the store or buying energy-efficient appliances, every action helps.
Before we finish your audio tour, here is Alex to tell you how you can learn more and stay involved.
Thank you for joining us on a walk today. If you wanted to learn more about the marsh and what the Delaware Nature Society does here, talk with us in the Environmental Center or pick up a coming events flyer from the outside box on your way out. You can find the Delaware Nature Society on Facebook or visit us at delnature.org to learn more about the Delaware Nature Society and to sign up to receive a once-a-week update from us about things that interest you. Thanks again for visiting us. We really look forward to having you back.